الفت رسول کی کیوں کرنا میرے دل میں ہو، الفت رسول کی، ہاں الفت رسول کی کیوں کرنا میرے دل میں ہو، الفت رسول کی، ہاں الفت رسول کی۔
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، رب اشرح لي صدری ويسر لي امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی يفقه قولی، سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العلیم الحکیم، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما۔ All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we beseech Thee to increase us in our knowledge and to protect us from the deceptions of the Satan and the evil of our souls. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. In today's hadith lesson, we discuss Islam vis-a-vis freedom, liberation. This week, Friday, the 27th of April, 2007, South Africa will be celebrating Freedom Day. We who were born and bred in South Africa know what apartheid was. We know the legacy of apartheid. There was a white minority regime, and based on color and racism, they said that they will rule. They were 5-7 million, and they ruled the lives of 40 million plus minus. Everything to do with race. I was a young boy, and I know very well when we used to walk, we used to go to the parks, and it used to be written there, whites and non-whites. When we went to the post office, there were two queues, one for whites and one for non-whites. When you went to the bank, the same thing. So everywhere you would find that people were judged with color. Is it a crime to be born dark in complexion? Is it a crime to be born a non-white, a non-European? Obviously, that the system which they implemented of racism and apartheid was one of the worst systems the world had seen. And it is something that is unnatural, and therefore today the architects of apartheid, Verhoed, Foster and the remainder, are turning in their graves, and the Nationalist Party have a terrible legacy, such a legacy that the party folded up without any tears. And that is what we saw. We had to suffer under apartheid a great deal. We were kicked out from our shops. We were kicked out from our homes because of the Group Areas Act. So all that happened. So we cannot forget South Africa's past and apartheid and the legacy of apartheid. And obviously the liberation movements, each one of them made great, great sacrifices. We cannot forget that as well. What happened was that so many children, so many adults, men, women, were abducted, kidnapped, killed. The parents did not even see their own children. And if you want a similarity of that to a certain extent, as you see in the Zionist apartheid rogue state of Israel, what is happening today, children, men, women arrested without any crime, and then the parents don't see them, no justice system, detention without trial. That was something we were aware of in South Africa. You find it today in Guantanamo Bay by the American regime. You find it today in Britain, that in Belmarsh. So many places you can be detained without a trial. So this is what South Africa had. People were judged only solely by their color. White was right. The Afrikaner language was glorified. And if you knew Afrikaans, then maybe the chances were you would be treated slightly better. And the sons of the soil made great, great sacrifice for the liberation of South Africa. We can never, ever forget that. Today we know that many, many people have so many freedoms. So all that we need to create a balance. Having mentioned all that in our introduction, now we need to come to the current status quo. And that is, whether it was the ANC, PAC, or whoever, the liberation struggle, what were the aims and objectives? The aims and objective was to bring about a non-racial South Africa, where there will be a democratic government, where there will be votes for the people, and people can choose the party whom they want to, without any duress, coercion, without being hindered, without any, you know, pressure being applied upon them. So all these were the aims and objectives. 13 years, 1994, South Africa saw a historic election. I myself, many, many Muslims, most people in South Africa voted for the first time. We never knew what's a vote in South Africa because we belonged to the wrong side of the regime, the apartheid regime. And in 1994, we went on April 27 to vote and we experienced what voting is. And I must tell you, we were all very, very happy at that time. A new beginning for South Africa. However, when we see what South Africa has achieved in these 13 years, there are, without a shadow of doubt, many, many positives. But with that positives, there are many, many negatives. I don't belong to any political party, I'm not a politician, and we speak from Quran and Sunnah, and we speak the truth without fear or favor of any party, any country, any constitution. What we would tell the South African government and politicians, Muslim and non-Muslim, that what is lacking in today's South Africa? Number one, if you want a government that can be remembered, you have to exercise justice. Is there justice in South Africa today? Definitely not. If you want examples, we can give you so many examples. If you are linked to the ANC and you are found guilty, then the punishment that is given to you will be different to a person who does not belong to that party. And we have seen it in many, many high-profile politicians' cases. And we have seen the preferential treatment. So remember that you are invoking the wrath of the people yourself. If you just go on our roads, and me and you, an ordinary driver, if we make a small mistake, you will get a fine. And you look at the taxis, the mayhem and the chaos they have. No one can stop them. They are law unto their own. So you need to have one law based for every citizen, whether he's ANC, PAC, or whether he's any party, Afrikaner party, or Indian party, or whatever else you want to call them. So that is where there's a great, great failing on behalf of our judicial system. People have lost faith in the justice system in South Africa. I myself, we don't have confidence in our judicial system. The police, I don't know, majority or minority are corrupted. And you can see the corruption increasing. Politicians, if you look at the oil gate scandal, you look at the travel gate scandal, and they're sitting there with all their perks, they're sitting there with their big, big wages, complaining for the 5.4 increase they got, sitting on their laurels. So this is what we are speaking about. That an absolute shame and disgrace that you have not made South Africa a better place for majority, but if you look at the petrol price going up, you look at the crime that has taken on this country. It's an absolute shame, and you cannot hide from that. That there are many no-go areas for the ordinary citizen. We cannot walk out at night. We cannot go to the masjid and graveyards alone. We cannot go to our family without being concerned what is going to happen in our homes. And the second aspect, and this is where Islam comes in again, the failing of modern-day political systems. I'm not addressing ANC or South Africa only. We address the world. That your democratic systems do not bring justice. We saw that in America. We saw that in apartheid Israel. We are seeing that today in Iraq. They told us Saddam Hussein was a terrible dictator and so forth. Fine. He was a dictator, we accept. I ask you a question. What you have brought for Iraq today and what they were experiencing under Saddam Hussein, irrespective of whether they were Shias or Sunnis or whatever, what was better for the Iraqi people? So it shows in the name of freedom, in the name of liberation, you have brought nothing but mayhem, chaos, stolen their natural resources in the name of oil, and destroyed the Islamic heritage of one of the greatest Muslim countries, which ruled the Muslim Ummah for more than a half a millennium, 524 years to be exact. So we need to know that the slogans are very, very promising. We will bring freedom, we will bring liberation, we will bring a non-racial, non-sexist society. I have all the documents, but did you bring that? We failed. If you ask me, it's a failure. Why do modern governments fail? Because the entire emphasis is only on the physical. There is nothing spiritual. People are not taught about God. People are not taught about religion. We stand for freedom of religion. We never say every person must become a Muslim. The Quran Kareem states, La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion. You want to be a Hindu, fine. You want to be a Christian, fine. You want to be a Jew, fine. You want to be an atheist, is acceptable. We have no problem with that. Our problem is that when laws are passed against every religion and against the natural system of God. Imagine the ANC minister has the gall to tell us that they are legalizing the gay and the lesbian and homosexuality because in the ANC themselves and the army and cadres, there are many homosexuals, so therefore it must be legalized. To me, that's a lot of hogwash and rubbish. And if you take a referendum today, remember the mass majority of people and citizens of South Africa will reject that. So when you speak of democratic system, then remember you have to look at the spiritual dimension. But that will never happen because democracy, secularism, all go hand in hand. You build up a godless society, an irreligious society, and therefore you face the pandemic of AIDS. Swaziland, 1 million people, 50% of the population HIV positive. Southern Africa, one of the hottest spots as far as HIV AIDS go. Do you really believe, as governments, ANC or whoever else, that is this freedom when 20, 25, 30% of the population might have HIV? Every day opposite my house, when I look at the graveyard, we see 50 people, 100 people being buried. Most of them are AIDS victims. What have we done? Do you think your condom policy is going to work? It's not worth the paper on which it's written. So freedom has brought about many, many vices with it as well. And why these vices? Because there's no justice. For law, for politicians, we have other laws. For us ordinary mortals, you have other laws. For taxi drivers, you have other laws. People who belong to a different race, different color, different laws. So this is how you bring about total mayhem, anarchy. If you think I'm speaking from my pocket, I take you back into history. The year is 636. The year is 636. Gregorian calendar. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was summoned. By who? The patriarch. The patriarch, the people who belong to the Christian clergy and faith, they lost the land of Palestine and Jerusalem, the Holy Land. Muslims had conquered it. They said, we will not hand over the keys to you, Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu an. We will give it to the leader, Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen. When Sayyidina Umar came, he met Sofrianus, that was his name, and then both of them delivered a talk and a lecture. What was Sofrianus' one sentence? Take one sentence of each party. These are sentences you need to write down forever, or at least memorize them. Sofriana said, Dawlat al-Dhulmi Lasa'a. When you have a country based on oppression, when you have a country based on injustice, it will last for a little while. As the apartheid regime, whether it is Botha, whether it is Foster, whether it is Verwoerd, these are the people we saw, these are the people who ruled. So we know about the before them as well, we studied in history. And today, totally degraded, humiliated and disgraced. And inna dawlat al-adli ila qiyam as-sa'a. And the next sentence he said, Sofrianus, the patriarch, the Christian clergy, when you have a country based on justice, it will last till the day of Qiyamah. A Christian person. See. Amirul Mu'mineen said, Umar on that occasion delivered the memorable khutbah in Jerusalem in Palestine and said, نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام ومهما نطلب غيره لأذلنا الله. That we are a people and a nation, irrespective of race, irrespective of nationality, irrespective of gender. We are a people and a nation. Allah gave us honor because of Islam. And whatever ism we might seek, remember Almighty Allah would disgrace and humiliate us. Look at the Arabs today. Arab nationalism. So proud of being Arab, yet so humiliated despite all the wealth and oil they possess. Look at the Muslim people today who want democratic system. Look at like this with Iraqis and Afghanistan and the puppet regimes that you have there, the Shias who are licking the boots of the Americans. And you have Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan. You have the Musharrafs and the Munafiks in the Muslim world. So remember that this is how Almighty Allah disgraces us and humiliates us. So we need to be very, very clear on these issues here. So the main focus where we as Muslims will say, Islam will say, you have failed. You have not brought justice to the citizens and subjects of your country. One law for the entire country, that we do not see. And we find that you are, you know, the judges are bought, the magistrates are bought, people who are high profile, they can do what they want to. Kabul is one example. So, spirituality, nothing. You have people who are in the highest post and they speak about moral degeneration, but they themselves are committing adultery day and night. Who can forget Zuma and his antics? The Zuma gate? So, when you have people who are right on the top and they are people involved in the worst type of crimes, sex and adultery and whatever, but they want to speak of morality, then that's an absolute disgrace and shame to a nation and to a country. In Islam, we say, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we use him as an example because he ruled for 10 years. Islam flourished in his time to such an extent that it never ever spread at that level at any other time. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu instituted reforms. He would walk around, patrol the streets and gullies of Medina Munawwara, seeing if any person had any need, whether it was a woman in labor, whether it was a child walking the streets of Medina Munawwara. Can any Muslim prime minister, president today tell us this? Their aim is just to fill their pockets and fill their family's pockets without exception. So this is what we find in a Muslim world. So remember this, that this is the disadvantage when you have people ruling countries who have material wealth only in front of them. And this is what we find in democratic dispensations. People will have monopolies. People will have no-go areas. You cannot enter there because a certain clique, a certain group of people or high-powered families, they control that certain business. Today, the oil in the Muslim countries, who controls it? Remember this. In Islam, that is unacceptable. That one group of people, there's no monopoly in Islam. So we need to be very clear on these type of issues here. In South Africa, how many things the government controls and the people cannot ever say in that? If you look at our petrol price shooting out of the sky, so remember this, that if you go to Swaziland, you go to neighboring countries that are receiving almost everything from South Africa, but we find it is cheaper there. So how can that be acceptable to us as South Africans? So we say, yes, freedom was a good thing to a certain extent, but this unbridled freedom that brought about the crime wave, that brought about the AIDS pandemic, that brought about the gambling casinos, that brought about all this prostitution and escort agencies and gay business, is not only a disgrace to the South African government, is a disgrace to human being. And it debases and degrades human being. And therefore, without fear or favor, we say, any Muslim parliamentarian politician who signed that and you accept it, you're a kafir murtad out of the fold of Islam, your nikah is broken. Remember, you just cannot fool people that you want your wages and you want to sign this type of laws. Islam does not need people of that caliber. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Are they seeking the laws of jahiliyyah, of ignorance? Are you seeking the laws of paganism? Are they seeking the laws which are against the laws of Allah? We know that Muslims are only 2-3%. We don't demand for Islamic law, but we do demand a law that is in keeping with the religions, whether it be Christianity, whether it be Islam, whether it be Judaism. All of them outlaw adultery, fornication. All of them outlaw gay business. So how can this be glorified? How can judges who are gay be acceptable in our society? How are parliamentarians who pass these laws and are proud of them be a role model for the youth who are coming up? We leave it to you to think about this, because any nation, any country, South Africa is a small country. You just need to know of the big, big empires, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, other empires that came. They controlled, quartered the world, half the world. And when they rebelled against the divine system, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla unleashed his punishment. So don't think that we will go away scot-free with impunity. We can see the signs already. Freedom for women. They said, and the world says, Muslims have oppressed women. Muslims have oppressed the half of the population. So fine, what did they do? They told the women, you can dress as you want to. You can perform as you want to. Ask yourself today the question, 13 years on in our new South Africa, the lot of women, is it better? We are not condoning apartheid. Apartheid was a major crime against humanity, and we totally against it. And what happened? We mentioned all that in the starting. The question we are asking, would this democratic dispensation, would democracy in the world, have they improved the status of women? When we look at the streets, nowadays it's a shame and disgrace. Almost every weekend I'm out, and wherever I go, I find in our Indian areas, Muslim, I could use the word Indian because in those days, they used to separate us, the African area, Indian area, and whites and colored areas. So it's predominantly the Muslim masjid today in Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and that is still in the Indian area, so therefore I use the term. If you go there, you will just find prostitutes lining up everywhere. And is that what we wanted? A land of freedom where prostitutions would rule the streets. At night, you don't even know where to park your car. I've experienced this in so many towns already. People had to move from their homes because the street where they lived is filled with prostitutes. Is this what freedom is all about? Where women can sell their bodies and we are making progress? I think not. Globally, freedom. Today, the apartheid rogue state of Israel, they kill our children, kill our people there in Palestine with impunity because they have the power of Big Brother and the veto. Do you think that they will be able to continue like this? They tell the world they want peace. Do you want peace by building an apartheid wall? Do you want peace by incarcerating children and women? Do you want peace because of your apartheid policies? Stealing and grabbing land? Ask former President Jimmy Carter. He knows more about you than me. So these are the facts on the ground. Ask the American regime what they are doing in Iraq. Ask the British and Blair what they are doing in Afghanistan. Ask the Ethiopians what they are doing in Somalia, fighting a proxy war. So is this the freedom we are speaking about? You are making Muslims tough every day with your hypocrisy, with your double standards. Remember, you can never erase Islam and Muslims. Everyone who tried that died with humiliation and disgrace. And if you want an example now, right in front of us, ask the butcher of Beirut, the war criminal Ariel Sharon, and see the death he's suffering now. And wallah, I take an oath on Allah, it is divine chastisement and punishment on him. He wanted to put our Palestinian children on a diet. He wanted to put the Masjid al-Aqsa under his feet and said, who can stop me? When Allah unleashes his chastisement, none can help you. Totally remove from the media, totally remove from public life. And living there, he doesn't know whether he's alive or he's dead. That is what awaits people. So don't fool people with your freedom songs. Don't fool people with the freedom. Our minds have to be liberated. We need to think and not let people indoctrinate us. We need to think, and you, Ummat Muslimah, I'm sad to say this, but I have to say it. It's a shame and disgrace. The vast majority of Muslim men and women cannot think on their own. Today, cricket is a big thing. Today, fashion is a big thing. What the media makes big and significant, that you consider to be newsworthy, that is important. You bought the clothes for the child, and you put the kafir culture right in your child. He comes to the masjid with the cricket tracksuit, and he got some kafir name there. And that is how we nurture our child. Do you think your child is going to be a good Muslim? When you fill the child with kufr, you need to liberate that thinking thought process. And then we will say that's freedom. Once you think and behave and act like a kafir, then remember, Allah alone can save this ummah. For you women, the greatest lesson of liberation is protect your haya, your shame, your modesty. Never suffer from what the kafir condom culture wants to give you. Remove your ijar and your trousers. Remove your scarf and your hijab. Remove your parda and so forth. And we will liberate you. Remember, it's a hollow slogan. You can't put butter next to the stove and expect nothing to happen. You cannot expect to go in the rain and expect not to get wet. Allah has created us. He knows what is better for us. Our message for this Freedom Day to all South Africans, male, female, adult and child, and to all human beings, irrespective of faith, if you want freedom, then you need to strive for three things. Number one, strive for justice, one law for one humanity. If we have not done that, we have failed ourselves, we have failed humanity. Second, you need not to liberate yourself, you need to liberate your mind. Don't let other people think for you, indoctrinate you, and start thinking for you. Think for yourself, stimulate your mind, and go to the divine scripture, the glorious Quran Kareem, and see how Almighty Allah encourages us. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't they wonder, ponder? Why don't they think? أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ. So many places in the Quran, Allah is telling us. And the third message, speak the truth. We don't want propaganda. We don't want spin doctors. We're not interested in crooked politicians. We have met, we have seen, and we saw that how they crook people just for their lousy vote. Therefore, we're no more interested in voting also. May Almighty Allah bless our country, save our country from the pandemic of AIDS and crime. May Almighty Allah let us serve the deen of Islam in all parts of the world. And next up, inshallah, 3 o'clock the news. And thereafter, we have Sheikh Waleed from the Durban studios. 3:30 to 4, the Arabic lesson. 5:20, 5:25, Maulana Mubarak Khan, inshallah, from Durban. And 7 to 8, the inheritance lesson. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillah. Rabbil.
Karna mere dil mein ho ulfat rasool ki, haan ulfat rasool ki. کیوں کرنا میرے دل میں ہو الفت رسول کی، ہاں الفت رسول کی، کیوں کرنا میرے دل میں ہو الفت رسول کی، ہاں الفت رسول کی، جنت میں لے کے جائے گی، جنت میں لے کے جائے گی، جنت میں لے کے جائے گی چاہت رسول کی.
Satellite Radio World Space. And now for CII News, keeping you informed as it happens.
NATO dumps Afghan opium message. Oilfield gunmen were Eritrean and foreigners offered South African jobs. It's gone 3 p.m. Central African Time, 4 in Makkah Mukarrama. Assalamu alaikum, I'm Irfan Adam. NATO forces in Afghanistan say they have withdrawn paid adverts on a radio station which implied it was acceptable to grow opium poppies. A NATO spokesman said the advert was ambiguously worded. The decision followed complaints from the Afghan government and the UN that the alliance was appearing to condone the illicit crop. The advert was paid for by the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force and aired in Helmand Province. The province in the south is one of the largest opium-producing areas in the world and the center of a large NATO-led anti-Taliban offensive. ISAF spokesperson Angela Burling says the poorly worded address was taken off air yesterday. The advertisement said ISAF troops understood that most Afghan people had no source of income other than poppy production. Government figures show that nearly 2 million farmers grow opium poppies. Abdullahi Hassan, president of the region in Ethiopia, which gunmen who attacked an oil field killing 9 Chinese and 65 local workers, says the attackers were wearing Eritrean military uniforms, stoking bitter tensions between the longtime enemies. Eritrean officials were not immediately available for comment. Ethiopia and Eritrea, neighboring African nations who fought a war over an unresolved border dispute that ended in 2000, have traded accusations over involvement in Somalia. Eritrea is accused of backing the Union of Islamic Court, fighting Ethiopian troops supporting the interim government. Hassan said the area of the attack is now under control. Almost 35,000 quota work permits for foreigners with scarce and critical skills were made available by Home Affairs Minister Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula today. She issued a list of quota work permits for selected professions, which means foreign nationals with the required qualification and work experience will be allowed to enter South Africa without first having secured employment. 53 occupations, including call center managers, clinical and biomedical engineers, technologists and precision metal trade workers were on the list of wanted skills. This is the second year that the quota work permits were issued, but Mapisa Nqakula admitted that last year's uptake was not overwhelming. Successful applicants under the quota system are required to find a job in their field of expertise within 90 days of being issued with permits to enter South Africa. The UN has sharply criticized Iraq's human rights record in the 2 months since a new security plan was launched in and around the capital, Baghdad. The UN mission for Iraq said Iraqi authorities had failed to guarantee the basic rights of about 3,000 people there detained in operations. The report said 4 million Iraqis were at risk because of lack of food. The UN assistance mission in Iraq again called for access to Iraqi government files on civilian casualty figures. The Iraqi authorities disputed figures in the previous UN report. The UN said in January that 34,452 civilians were killed and more than 36,000 wounded in 2006. These figures were much higher than any issued by the Iraqi government officials. The UN said those figures were provided by Iraqi government ministries. And finally, 5 armed men posing as Telkom employees have robbed a Rosebank house of 2,000 rand and a vehicle. Superintendent Lungeno Dlamini said the gang, who had been carrying shovels, stole a Toyota Yaris, the cash and ornaments from the house yesterday. Once inside the house, the armed gang, dressed in Telkom clothing, brandished firearms at the owner of the house before tying him up with electric cables. No shots were fired. Dlamini warned the public not to open the gates and doors to suspicious-looking people. No arrests have been made.
Finance on CII.
looking at this hour's financials, gold is trading at $684.80 a fine ounce. Brent crude is set at $67.68 a barrel. Mary Fatimi is set at 5,815.46. Your minimum, Mary, is 116.31. In the current Takat Nisab is 2,326.18. The rand is at 187 to the Saudi rial, 9.55 to the euro, 14.03 to the sterling, and 7 to the greenback. Recapping this hour's top story, NATO forces in Afghanistan say they have withdrawn paid adverts to a radio station, which implied it was acceptable to grow opium poppies.
CII News, as it happens.
Great news, the Al Mehran restaurant is now open at 191 Marine Parade.